Parshat Shmini this weekend. Parshat Shmini is one of those parashot that often gets overlooked for a couple of reasons. One of them because it's always coming crunch time, often right after Pesach. Matter of fact, the famous adage that Shmini Shmona Shmena, we will end up here in Chutz La'aretz reading Shmini 8 times, because it was the week before Pesach, and then Pesach came, and we kept reading it on Shabbat afternoon, and this past Monday, and now tomorrow. And then finally we'll conclude with Shmini the Shabbat. But it always comes around Pesach, and it comes around Yom HaTzmaud, and it comes around Yom HaShoah, and it comes around all these festive and commemorative and contemplative times, so we're often talking about other things. The second thing is that Parshat Shmini, the longest section of Parshat Shmini, is one that a lot of people will look at and be kind of ho-hum about, which is the whole list of animals, birds, fish, not the list of fish, but the particular qualities of fish that render them as fit for eating or not, and the whole Nevelah issue. But of course, Parshat Shmini, the low light, the highlight, the central part of this thing, is one of the only two stories in Vayikra, which is the death of Nadav and Avihu. And the death of Nadav and Avihu brings with it a reaction from Aharon. And I want to focus really on one word. The whole shiur is about one word. And the one word is Vayidom, Vayidom Aharon. But I want to introduce it by showing you this passage from Masachet Smachot. Now, Masachet Smachot, just as a very quick introduction, is a Gaonic period compilation put together in probably the 8th century or so, but from much earlier traditions. And it is basically the practices of Avelut, of burial and Avelut that we have. Smachot is a euphemism for sad things. And in Masachet Smachot, we have the following story, which, I'll be honest with you, is a little bit difficult because of some of the names here, but we'll take a look. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, remember who he was. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the leader of the Sanhedrin, one of the leaders of the Sanhedrin, just before and during the time of the destruction. One of the famous stories of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai sneaking out of the city to plead with Vespasian, etc. So evidently he had a son who predeceased him. And of course that's why this is here, relating to the story of Aharon and his sons. Nichnasu Talmidav v'nachamo. So the students came in to console him. So first, Nichnas Rabbi Eliezer. Now this is Rabbi Eliezer, his student, who is the famous Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, the one famous from Tanuro Shalachnai, etc. V'yashav l'fanav, v'amar lei. He said, Rabbi, Ritzoncha omar davar echad l'fanecha. If it's okay with you, I want to say one thing. Now notice that the student comes in to console the grieving teacher, who's grieving for his son, and the student sits down and then asks permission to speak. We'll see what that's about. Amar lo emor. So the teacher grants him permission to say one thing. Amar lo Adam Rishon Ayalo ben umet. Adam Rishon, his son died. Hevel died. V'kibel olav tanchumin. And he accepted consolation. He was willing to allow himself to be consoled. Minayin shekibel olav tanchumin. How do I know that he accepted tanchumin? Very interesting answer. Shenemar vayeda Adam od et ishto. It's subsequent to the death of Hevel, Adam had relations with Chava, and that produces Sheit, who they name in honor of Hevel, who died in place of Hevel. Afata kabel tanchumin. So allow us to comfort you. In other words, their sense was they were coming in, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was refusing to accept any consolation. So he said, look, Adam Rishon lost a son, and he recovered, right? Amar lo, lo dai shani mitzta'er be'atzmi ala zkarta li tzarosh l'adam rishon. Sicilian, patch and pani. He says, not enough that I'm suffering, now you're reminding me of Adam Rishon suffering. Nichlas Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are the two prime students of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. V'amar lo tzoncha umar devar echad v'fanecha amar lo emor. Same thing, can I say something? Amar lo Iyov hayu lo banim uvanot umetu kulam. Right, Iyov had 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. They all died. He accepted Tanchumin. Talk about Tanchumin. So please accept our consolation. A line that some of us know all too well, but it's a line that we say when we bury our relatives, and that Iyov evidently was saying, you know, I'm accepting the din. Right. Amar lo lo dai li shani mitzter about tzmiel she's kind of tzaro shaliyov. It's the same thing. Now, I'm not sure how Rabbi Yosef and Shimon get into this picture because it was much later, but Rechaz Rabbi Yosef v'ashal v'fanav. Mar lo Rebbe Tzoncha, mar devar achal v'fanecha, mar lo mor, mar lo Aharon. Hayu lo shnei vanim gdolim metru shneihem b'yom achad. He had two sons who died on the same day. Kibel aleihem tanchumin. He accepted tanchumin. And this is what's strange. Shneamar v'yidom Aharon. What was Aharon's response to their death? Quiet. How's that tanchumin? So ein shtika ela tanchumin. Somehow, this student says to a teacher that Aharon's silence means he was accepting consolation, which is a stretch. We'll see about it. Afataka bel tanchumin. So he says, Amar lo lo dai shani mitzta'er v'yatzmi. Not only am I suffering for myself, now you're reminding me of how much Aharon suffered. But you guys are not doing a very good job. Nichlas Rabbi Shimon, and again how Rabbi Shimon gets in here unclear. Marlo Rebbe Yutzoncha Mar Devar Achad, same thing. He says David Hamelach Hayelo Ben. And by the way, this is now pretty much the canonical list of people who had children predeceased them. Right? David, the child that was created from that adulterous affair, was born but got sick immediately and died. And Kibel Tanchumin Ve'afata Kabel Tanchumin. David Tanchumin. Interesting answer. Shneimar vayinachem David et Batsheva ishto vayavoy elav vayishkav imav vatelet ben vayikrat shmo Shlomo. So now, why do they quote the whole pasuk? Wouldn't it be enough to just say that he resumed relations with Batsheva to show that he accepted Tanchumin? No. The fact is, he had a son, and what did he call the son? Shlomo. Is it to say now things are at peace? Kilu, moving on. Afata Rebbe Kabel Tanchumin. He says again, not enough that you're. I got my own troubles, now you're reminding me of how much David suffered. Nichnas Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. This is a very strange ending. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, if you remember in the Mishnah, and Avot, is the student that Rabbi Yochum ben Zakkai praised the most. Kivan Shirao Amar L'Shamsho Tol Kayai V'lecha Charei L'Beit HaMerchatz. So Rabbi Yochum ben Zakkai saw Rabbi Elazar ben Arach coming in. He said to his Shamash, get my clothes and follow me to the bathhouse. Levisha Adam Gadol Hu, Venia Chola Modbo. He's too big. I won't be able to stand up to him. In other words, Rabbi Yochum ben Zakkai was putting up a front. He refuses to be consoled. And he has a push away for everybody else. I won't be able to do it. What happened? Nichnas v'yashav v'fanav. Now, it's unclear if that means he came into the bathhouse or before he was able to get out, he sat in the house. What's it like? Ladam shivkir etzlo amelech pikadon. The king entrusted a man with something valuable. Every day the guy was so worried and he was upset. When am I going to be able to hand this thing back? Because I'm afraid. You know, when you're holding something valuable, you want to put it back in the safe deposit box. You want to put it back in the china cabinet. You don't want to hold it. But etc. Afata Rebbe, Hayalacha Ben. You had a son? Kara Torah, Mikra, Nivim, Tuvi, Mishnah, Alachot, Vagadot. He studied everything. Viniftar min haolam balochet. He died without sin. Viyesh lekabel alav tanchumin, shechzarta piktoncha shalem. So notice, he doesn't go to somebody else in history who suffered. He says, look at the result. You had a child. Your child lived a perfect, beautiful life, and you returned the pikadon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without breaking anything. You returned it beautifully. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar b'ni nichamtani, k'derech shebnei adam menachamin, you comforted me. And by the way, there's a very powerful lesson here, which is, when you're comforting somebody, don't try to tell them about what somebody else went through. And, of course, never say, oh yes, I know how you feel, because it's not true, and I went through the same thing. I mean, it's something you can talk about several months later over coffee, comparing notes on tragedies. When you're being Menachem somebody, it's about them, not about you, and not about somebody else. So that's an important point here. K'shiyatsu milfanav hu amar, elech l'dimsit l'makom yafeh umayim yafim v'naim, v'heim amru n'elech liyavne l'makom shetalmidim chachamim rubim uavim et ha-Torah. So now when they left Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said, I'm going to go to this nice little resort. And everybody else said, they're going to Yavne. Yavne, by the way, was a prison of war camp. Right? It was no Matsya. And but that's, there are people there who learn Torah. Who shalach l'dimsit l'makom yafeh umayim yafim v'naim nitmayet shmo b'torah. Ben Arach was never heard of from again. He went to a beautiful resort and had a great time, but his name was sort of like fell off the headlines. Heim shalchu liyavne l'makom sh'tamidim chachamim rubim v'ovim et ha-Torah n'gadel shmo b'torah. The other rabbis that we read about in here became famous. All right, so that's a very strange ending to this whole story. In a sense, it's almost as if Rabbi Elazar ben Arach didn't take his own message. Because what was his message? Your son studied Torah, he studied everything, he's beautiful, he returned him perfectly. And then he went off to a place where he wasn't going to be accomplishing the same thing. Hey, however we understand that. But the interesting point here, among the larger story, which I think has its own fascination, is the way that Rabbi Yossi presents Aharon. And he says, it says, Vayidom Aharon, and that Vayidom means that he accepted consolation. Which is a very strange take on it. So I'd like to use that as a springboard to really examine Aharon's reaction. And you see it here in source 2. This is the passage we'll read this Shabbat. And just as an introduction, Vayichu v'nei Aharon. Now, parenthetically, what's happening before this? This is the beginning of chapter 10. What's happening before this? It's the dedication. Everybody's very excited. The fire comes down. The people jump back. The people are singing. The people are shouting. There's all sorts of excitement going on. And then Nadav and Avihu come. Ish machtatov einuva and ish v'asimu alakhtoret v'akivu l'fnei Adonai ish zara shalot tziva otam. And again, we don't know what they did wrong. Was it that they brought fire from the heavenly fire? They should have brought their own fire. Is it that they went into the Kodesh Kedoshim? Is it that they went in drunk? Is it they were more halacha from Moshe Rabban? We don't know. Vateitze esh b'lifnei Adonai v'tochol otam yamutu l'fnei Adonai. Fire came out from Hashem and devoured them, and they died right there. Vayom Moshe al Aharon, hu asher diber Adonai l'mor bikrovai ekadesh v'alpnei chol am ekaved. This is exactly what Hashem said. I will be sanctified to those who are close to me, and I will become, the gravitas will be felt in front of everyone. Vayidom Aharon. Aharon, Vayidom. What does that mean? So most people would translate, he was silent. So in other words, what's Aharon's response to this? Nothing. Now, if we assume, like most, that Vayidom means he was silent.
What's the
shorish? What is Dalad Mem Mem, maybe? All right, we're going to look at that. If we assume that Aharon was silent, why was he silent? What does the silence imply?
But he can't say anything against it.
Okay, so what does the silence imply?
Shock.
Possibility shock. What else?
Comfort.
What?
Or comfort. You don't know what he was doing before.
Comfort, because maybe before he was crying, now he stopped crying and he's silent. So that would be Rabbi Yossi's read, that this is, he was, except consolation, he stopped crying.
But
what else?
He's also been reproved, meaning that.
Meaning what? He's silent, so what would it mean?
Meaning that it doesn't mean that he's in a good place, it just means that they're shutting him down. Meaning you can't say anything because.
So in other words, he was going to say something like, what, protest, and then he gets shot down?
Yeah.
Okay, could be.
I have another thought.
Yeah?
Could mean they stood there in a stoic fashion and accepted what had happened.
Accepted what had happened, right. Which is what we call tzidu kadin, which is, so the reality is everything that you've said, someone of Rishonim said. Nobody knows what Rabbi Dom Aharon is. He'd stick alav at hadin, shatak. But there's a very strange thing that happens. In the Targum, we have two versions. In the Targum, what we call Unklos, one of them is Vishatik Aharon. The other is Vishabach Aharon, as in he praised. Where'd that come from? Very strange. Did Aharon make a sound, or did Aharon not make a sound? We assume he didn't make a sound. That's the silence, right? Okay, good. I turn the page for a second.
I could have thought this blood was boiling over. There's a relevance to Dom.
No, I know.
Once Hashem said, before I finish, so that calmed him down.
So, in other words, he was verhitzt, right? Vizak le verhitzt. He was agitated. Good. And then when Moshe says, "Bikovai Kadesh, Fal Pnei Chol HaMekamed," he calms down because now he's accepting. Okay. Nishta Azeh Geferlach. I mean, terrible, but good. So turn the page, and we're going to see a very odd passage in Sefer Melachim, which is directly related to this. But it's going to raise a lot of questions about the silence. Eliyahu HaNavi. We've seen this passage several times, always in a unique context. There's each time in a unique context. Eliyahu HaNavi had the whole big light show, audiovisual show at Har Carmel, ending with a bloodbath where all the Nevi HaBaal are killed. Well familiar with the scene. And the next day, his picture's in every post office with a wanted dead signed by Isabel. So Eliyahu runs away. He runs to the desert near Beersheba, so he's totally out of the northern kingdom. And he essentially tells God he wants to die. A malach comes up and feeds him and says, "You've got a long way to go." So he eats some cakes that the malach gives him, and he walks for 40 days and ends up at Har Sinai. He comes into the cave, and here's what happens. We'll pick it up from Pasuk Tet. Vayavo sham el ha-me'arav vayalan sham. V'neidra Adonai lav vayomer lo malachafo Eliyahu. Hashem says to him, "What are you doing here?" Vayomer. Kano ki neiti l'Adonai Elohei Tzvaot. I was very jealous for you. Ki azvu v'ritcha b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael have abandoned your breed. And he's built techotecha rasu neviyacha guvacharev. They've destroyed your mizbachot, and they've killed your neviim by the sword. Vayvater ani levadi. I'm the only one left. Vayvakshu nafshi lekachta. They want to kill me. All right, that's so. God said, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I ran away, and everybody else has turned their back on you." All right. Vayomer. Save yamadeta v'har lifnei Adonai. So leave the cave. Come on out before Hashem. V'nei Adonai over ruach dola v'chazak. God will appear and there will be a hurricane that breaks mountains apart. Lo varuach Adonai. God's not in the hurricane. V'achar haruach rash. After the hurricane there will be an earthquake. Lo varash Adonai. God's not in the earthquake. V'achar harash esh. Here they would translate really, before the Second World War they would have translated it as a holocaust. Right, which is a big fire, but we don't use that word out of that context anymore. But being Erev Yom HaShoah, which is part of the reason I selected this topic, V'achar lo va'esh Adonai, God's not in the fire. V'achar ha'esh called mamadaka. Right? How would you translate? I deliberately have translations out here. How would you translate called mamadaka?
They always say a small, thin voice. Who knows what that means?
The problem is, of course, now demama doesn't mean silent anymore. And it almost can't mean silent because of what word? Kol. So what's kol demama daka? An oxymoron? What is it? Unclear. We'll come back to all of it. All right?
You could say
parenthetically, just to finish the piece, Vayhi kishmor Eliyahu vayal panav badato vayitzev yamor petach ha-me'arav v'nei lav kol vayor malach hafo Eliyahu. And notice what it says. Eliyahu has all this happen. He cloaks himself up, goes out of the cave, and a voice comes to him and says, "Eliyahu, what are you doing here?" Interesting. Eliyahu gives exactly the same answer, at which point God fires him. Right? Hold up. God fires him. And if you take a look at Pasuk Tetzai, I just want to put the finishing piece on this. Tetvav. Vayimrad ma'ilav lechshu d'kacha mimbar damasek. And here's the kicker about Elisha and Shaphat. Go back to Syria. By the way, go back to Syria is interesting because he didn't come from Syria. He came from Haifa. So it's like a V. But go back essentially means like retrace your steps. It's a way of saying your coming here was pointless. And anoint a new king over Syria, which is kind of interesting. It's sort of like the American government naming a new head of the Soviet Union, which, by the way, the American government has done in other places, but naming the king of your enemy. Then go anoint a new king over Israel, and then anoint a new Navi in your place, because you are fired. Why are you fired? Well, simple read seems to be, I asked you a question, you gave me an answer. I gave you a huge lesson, and then I asked the same question, and you gave the same answer, which means you don't get it. We'll have to see what that's about. But let's go to the called Mamad Daka. What is the called Mamad Daka? So you could say that it means silence. After all of this noise, there'll be silence. The problem is, A, how can you tell that there's suddenly silence? It's just a break between that and when God then says the next thing. Second of all, when God speaks to Eliyahu and says, what are you doing here? It says, Fine Elav Kol. So it sounds like that's the voice. And the voice has a question, and the question is, what are you doing here? Which means, it ain't silent anymore.
But can the voice be something that silences everything else?
That would not be Dmama. That would be Madim. Then you'd have to make it in the heat field.
Well, what does Daka mean?
Thin. Thin. Right? So now, question is, what does all this mean? And I want to take you back to page one for a second to show you a whole different meaning of the root, which may actually help us a lot. What was Yoshua's greatest moment? Without a question, hand up. It's not up for, you know, judge's decision. Without question, what's Yoshua's greatest moment? When he stops the sun and the moon. How does he stop the moon? What does he say? Shemesh begivon dom v'yarech v'emekai alon. The sun, stop. Now, he's obviously not telling the sun to be quiet. Sun, stop. And now, what's the report? Vayidom ha-shemesh v'yarech hamad. Okay? So now, we might be getting what sounds like conflicting reports. In the case of Aharon, we're reading it as silence. In the case of the Har Sinai, we're getting it as quiet or, you know, hushed, but it's a voice. And in the case of the sun, it has nothing to do with sound, it has to do with movement. So turn the page and let's see what's going on. The phrase shows up several times in Tehillim. The word shows up several times in Tehillim in an interesting context. One that we all know is in source 5. Mabetza bidami. What is it that I prayed for when I was very sick on a death's door? What did I say? Ma betza bidami b'riti el shachat. What benefit is there to you if I am what? What? Dead. If I go down to the grave, will the earth praise you? So bidami here sounds like dead. Alright? That's certainly not going to work very well with the other ones. Take a look at Tehillim Chaf Bet, which is traditionally said by many people on Purim, and Chazal say was authored by Esther. Eli Eli lama zavtani rachok mishuati divrei sha'agati, Elohai ekra yomam velo ta'aneh, velayla velo dumiali. At night I call out, you don't answer me, and during the day I call out, you don't answer me, and at night, lo dumiali, which means, I'm not what? I'm not?
I can't see.
I can't what?
I can't visualize.
Well, how would that do me out then? So during the day I call out and you don't answer, and at night, lo dumi ali. By the way, we're in a pinball game here. Like every pasuk is ricocheting off a different wall. All right? We need Tommy here to help us out. Anybody? No, Tommy? Pinball wizard. Okay. Take a look at Tehillim Lamatet. Ne'elamti dumia. I became muted dumia. Hecheshete mitov uchevi nekar. I was silenced from anything good, and my pain became worse. In Tehillim Samachbet. Ach el Elohim dumia nafshi. Mimenu shuati. And here's the one I really want to see. Lecha dumia tehila. To you, Dumiya is praise. What does this all mean? So I'll take you to two more places here. One of them is a pasuk we all know. We just said it for 8 days in a row. Lo hametim ya'aluya v'lo call your day Duma. What does that mean? The dead don't praise you, nor all who go down to Duma, which supports what we had earlier. It seems like it means death. Okay. By the way, we're still ricocheting all over the place.
It can't mean death because you have a mate.
Why not? It's parallel. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Redundant.
Now, the last thing I want to show you here before making a suggestion is in Yechezkel. Hanavi Yechezkel has got to be the most curious character in all of Tanakh, from one perspective at least. All of the weird stuff that he has to go through, lying on his side for 390 days, lying on the other side for 40 days, walking around like this, walking around like that, eating a Megillah, just really bizarre stuff. And in the middle of it, the following happens. Middle of Perek Chafdala, just after he gets the news about the siege of Yerushalayim, he's in Bavel. Watch out, he had Rod and I lie more. God spoke to me and said, this is Yechezkel. And by the way, we learn a lot of laws of Avelut from these passages. Ben Adam, that was the way Hashem addressed Yechezkel. Ben Adam. I'm going to take the treasure of your eyes, which we understand to mean his wife, in a plague. Your wife's going to die. Velo tispor, velo tivke, velo tavodi matecha. Velo tis, it should be tispod, tispod. So do not mourn, do not cry, and don't let any tears happen. In other words, she's going to die, don't mourn. Hey, anek dom metim, eva lo taase. Percha chavoshalecha, unalecha tasim braglecha, velo tatel safam, velecha manashim lo tochal. By the way, from there we learn a lot of laws of Avilut, practices. Go backwards. Lechem anashim lo tochal. Don't eat other people's food. Because what do we do when somebody dies? The first meal? Other people bring you food. Al safam, lo tatel safam. Do not cover yourself up over to your mouth, because what was the minhag in the times of the Tanakh and the Gemara? They were, an avel would like wear a hoodie over his head. Right? Na'alecha tasim raglacha. What does an avel not wear? Shoes. You wear shoes. Perchacha voshalacha. Wear your glory on your head. Put it on your head, which we understand to mean tefillin. Here's how we know that an avel doesn't wear tefillin the first day, if it's the day of mita, day of korah. But what's the first one? Heanek dom meitim eva lo taaseh. Heanek means to scream out. From the phrase heanek dom, which we're saying, don't do this. This is what avelim do. So Heanek Dom Meitim Eva Lo Taaseh. That thing, Heanek Dom, you don't do it. From there, by the way, we learn an interesting halacha, that an Avel's not allowed to learn Torah. That's where we learn it from. Right there. Heanek Dom. But what does Heanek mean? It means cry out. Heanek Dom? So what's Dom mean? Cry out and don't make a sound? How do you cry out and don't make a sound? That's strange. By the way, we learn another halacha from here that we see in the passage from Eov, which is that the reigning sound of a Beit Avel should be silence. You walk into a Beit Avel, what do you say? Nothing. You sit down. Who talks first?
Avel.
The Avel. And what if the Avel doesn't want to talk? You sit in silence. And what if the Avel wants to talk about their last moments? You listen to that. The last moments with the person who passed away. What if the Avel wants to talk about memories? Listen to that. What if the Avel wants to talk about the meaning of life? You talk about that. Not so clear that if the Avel wants to start telling jokes that you support that. Not so clear. But you let the Avel decide the direction and sitting there silently. And you see in the famous passage from Eov, Eov suffers all these losses. His three friends come from a distance. They sit with him for 7 days and nobody says a word. And then finally, Eov opens his mouth and curses the day he was born, etc., and it all spins off from there. What do we do with all of these different meanings of dome? It's the sun standing still, it's Aaron's reaction, whatever it may be, to the death of his sons. It's a form of praise, it's the grave. What is it? And what is it at Har Chorev, at Har Sinai? So I'd like to make a suggestion. Figured you're coming up. I'm going to make a suggestion. Dom means, and we're going to start with Yeshua, exactly what it says, to stand still, to stop moving. Still. And stillness, not just of inertia and exhaustion and not having any reason to move, but stillness, and think about the sun, that is humongous restraint against the innate need to move. The sun doesn't just want to move, it needs to move. And when Yeshua says, Shabbat Shabbat Dom, the sun stops itself. And the easiest way to think about this is actually by the use of dom that some of us are most familiar with, which is from the army. When the mufakid says, Amod Dom, what do? You don't move, you stand at attention. Now we're talking to young men who are filled with energy and filled with the desire to get out there and do their thing, whatever their thing might be. The running, the digging foxholes, whatever it might be, they're filled with energy. Amod Dom. Take that energy and push it into the ground. To take a life which is filled with vigor and energy and to temporarily restrain it, hold it in one place, that's Dom. Now let's look backwards. Lecha Dumiyat Tehillah. I'm going to look at a few of these selections. In Source 9, Lecha Dumiyat Tehillah. The praise to you, God, is the silence. You know why? I have so many things I want to say about how great your world is. But I know Pasuk in Tehillim. And the Pasuk in Tehillim is, Mi malel gvorot Adonai yashmi'a kol tehillato. Who will speak the great things of Hashem and make known all of His praise? And what does Chazal famously say about that? Only somebody who could say all of his praise should say his praise. Which is why the halacha is that besides Ha'el, Ha'gadol, Ha'gibor, Vanara, we use no other descriptions for God in Shemona Esrei. And we only use those because they're in the Torah and in Anshei Knesset Ogdullah. We don't start Ha'adir, Ha'chazak, Ha'zuz. Famous stories about Balei Tefillah did it and we're silenced. The greatest praise for God is, I'm filled, I want to praise you. But I realize that whatever I say is going to be inconsequential. Whatever I'm going to say is going to miss by so much. The greatest praise that I can give you is my silence. But not silence because I have nothing to say. I have so much to say, but I realize that I can't say it. The sun wants to move. The sun has to move. And the sun restrains itself from moving. And that becomes the model. What happens at Chorev? Eliyahu comes, and what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's he trying to teach him? Eliyahu, you can get all the fire coming down from heaven. It's not going to work. What works is silence. So I'll show you a lesson. Here's a huge wind, and guess what? You won't find me in there. Here's a huge earthquake. You won't find me in there. Here's a huge fire. You won't find me in there. And then there's a sound which is absolutely stilled. Doesn't mean there's no sound. It's stilled. It's controlled. It's directed. It's not wild. It's a call d'mama daka. And that's the voice you want to listen to. And that's the voice you want to broadcast further. And that's how you're going to successfully lead the people. Then he says to Eliyahu, okay, let's try it again. What are you doing here? And Eliyahu gives the same answer. That's when he gets fired. Because he didn't get the lesson. Now let's go back to Aharon. What happens before this? Lots of movement. The people running forward, the people running backwards, the fire coming down, everybody getting excited, a lot of agitation. Aharon lifts up his arms and blesses the people, comes off the Mizbeach, all of this movement. Nadab and Abihu come in, a fire comes down, they get killed. What does Aharon do? He takes all of that feeling, all of that feeling of the excitement and the hysteria and the tragedy and the sadness and the shock and the grief, and what does he do? He stands absolutely still. Dmama doesn't imply I got nothing to say. It implies I got so much to say, and the best thing I can say is nothing. And what is he imitating when he's doing that? He's imitating the dead. But he's not dead because he's got lots to say. This is his immediate response to the death of his sons. is to stand stock still like they who cannot move. But that's temporary. Because the very next thing that happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to him. And that's what brings him back out. And then Aharon and Moshe are involved in the conversation. I'd like to suggest that the root, Dalet Vav Mem, and Dalet Mem Mem, which are two versions of the same root, really is about restraint from movement, whether the movement is vocal or kinetic, whether it's the sun that won't move, whether it's the lips that won't move, whether it's the sound that moves, as it were, without a vibration, just comes straight to Eliyahu, Malach Afo Eliyahu, without all the tumult. It's the silence not born of nothing to say, but a silence born of so much to say and an awareness that it can't be said. And that's Aharon's response. You know, by now, already, and tomorrow morning, back home, there will be a siren. And next week, on Tuesday night and on Wednesday morning, there'll be another siren. And the common tradition that we have, the common custom that we have, is we stand in absolute silence. You all know, the freeways, the buses, everything stops, when he gets out, stands in silence. There are those who would argue, and people do make this argument, and Nathan wrote about it just this week, that it is an inappropriate custom, it's a goyish custom, and I've seen people in all sorts of places who, I haven't seen this, although I've heard of it, who people actually keep walking on the street, which is vile. But there are people who, in the privacy of their own places, will not observe it at all. It is what I'm talking about. I do not know of a better or more appropriate response, in a sense of immediate response, to the horrors of the Shoah than silence. Because if you think that there's anything that you can say that can be a proper response, then you don't get it. Silence sometimes is the only appropriate response. Now, that doesn't mean that years later, when we're discussing how to make sure it doesn't happen again, and what are the lessons we should learn, and how do we keep memories alive, that we don't talk. We talk, we have conferences, we have museums. That's all very important. But how do we react to the immediacy of it? With silence. And in a much more poignant way, how do we react when we find out that Hadar Golding didn't make it out of the tunnel? How do we react when we find out that Ron Arad is never coming home? How do we react? There's anger, there's commitment, there's resolve, there's grief, there's shock. But for the first moment, there's Vayidom. Taking all of that energy and realizing that right now my job is ki'ilu, to imitate the dead who cannot move, and then with time to process. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself who brings Aharon out of that silence by speaking to him. But that happens later. And Vayidom Aharon is the first move.